Now, there'll be a prayer team. If you need prayer on some of those things, you can come up after the service, and we'll have a team up here to help you and pray through with you on some of those things. You know, a few weeks back, I went to one of the state facilities up on I-25 between 52 and 119. Shows a lot of cars here, but, I hate waiting in a line. Do you? Man, if there's a line, I do not want to sit in a line. And I thought, I went at a time, I thought, okay, it's close to lunch. Everybody else is out eating. I'm going to go. And so there was a guy in front of me, and then there was me. I was number two. And then finally a guy pulled up behind me, and I thought, man, this is going to go fast, you know. So the traffic director came out, and you know how traffic directors are there. They have that face that I could care not at all for anything in your life, period, right? And so the traffic guy's looking at us all, and he walks past us, and these cars are coming in and keep waving them on in to get their admission, and we're sitting there. We sat there for an hour. Well, they just went these other cars through. I don't know if it was four-wheelers or what the deal was. And so I sat there for an hour, and luckily I had an audio book I could listen to, but I thought, well, that didn't quite work out, didn't it? You know, I mean, I thought, man, I had it whipped here or number two. And so finally, all of a sudden, I see a bunch of movement in all these guys, because there's only one of those garages working. And then all of a sudden, all these people came out. I realized, oh, they went to lunch too. And they all do it at the same time, thank you. And so all of a sudden, we got pushed through. And, you know, once I got in there, and man, they whipped it out, and I wrote my check and drove away with my admission sheet. And I thought, wow, that's what I came for. I didn't want to wait in that long line, but that's what I came for. And you know, as I was driving away, I thought, you know what? It's kind of like when we wait for Christ. He's coming, but man, it's a hard wait. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard wait, and it's frustrating. And I don't know sometimes if we really understand that. Boy, that is the second rev, yeah. Okay. We hate waiting, but we don't know sometimes that that's even what we're doing. We know something's got to be different, right? And I look at it and I think, you know, I sat in this inefficient line and we waited and waited, and we're waiting for Christ to come back. And then all of a sudden, at one moment in a twinkling of an eye, Christ is going to draw us up into glory. And all this is going to fade away, all the hassles, all the futility, all the things that aren't working are now going to be gone. I want to read this from Romans 8:19. And not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's us, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption, the buying back of our body. For we were saved in this hope. And so what Paul's saying is, when we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and He becomes our Lord, our biggest issue is this thing. We just can't hardly stand it, because you look in the mirror and it's not what you want to see, you know. And we're pumping iron, we're doing all these different things to feel good, but the bottom line is, all that's going to change. It's going to change. That's our hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ is coming, and our hope is that we are going to be changed into the glory that God has stored for us. That's our hope. And so I want to read this morning's, I'm going to read the white and you're going to read the yellow, okay? Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And I think it's interesting because the Thessalonians are shook up and they think the rapture has already gone by and somehow they missed it. Okay? And now they're in the tribulation because of all the suffering they're doing. And so they simply lost sight of what Paul was telling us. And sometimes we also lose sight of what Paul's told us. But they've forgotten what he said. And this is an exciting passage to me and a great encouragement to us as well, because Colossians 3:4, and we've mentioned this, I've mentioned this almost every sermon for the last four or five sermons, and let me read it again, because I'm hoping this becomes memory work for you, okay? When Christ, who is our life, okay, I want you to stop and think about that. For Christ, who is our life, it's not our life, it's Christ's life, right? For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, I want you to think about this. Because, see, here's our concept. And you guys who have done much study on rapture, we've talked about it when I was in Colossians. We talked about it when I'm 1 Thessalonians. And now we're going to talk it again when I'm 2 Thessalonians. But I don't think it hurts to rehearse, right? And so, here's the deal. We think, okay, our body will change. We'll go up in the clouds and we'll go be with God. And no, it's glory. He comes in glory and we're going to be glorified with him. I want you to think about this for a second. It's going to be magnificent. That's a word for glory. Splendor, beauty, wonder, grandeur. It's not going to be unnoticed. When Christ comes in the clouds and the trumpet blows and we go up, we are going to know about it. It's not going to pass us by and think, gee, I wonder if the rapture just happened. We're going to know. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and what? Glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. They forgot the glory was coming to them if the raptures take place. And so they thought, oh, Paul, we've missed it. And so they're writing and say, did we miss it? Are we in the tribulation? Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? They forgot. Like we forget. You know, the reoccurring theme here is about his glory. And when we go to be with him, we are going to be glorified with him. And that's our hope. That we will be gathered together in him, and then we have to have a new body to be able to stand the glory. Do you realize that? We cannot stand the glory now. And so think about this. Our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels, all in heaven, are continuously in a state of glory, magnificent beauty, wonder, and grandeur. So much so that Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, gets a glimpse of heaven, and he can't talk about it. In fact, God sends, through Satan, sends some kind of thing to Paul, a buffet, he calls it, because he wants Paul to stay humble, because what he saw would make him not humble. And so the Thessalonians impatiently waited for that day. And we wait. We're in the admissions line, right? Man. We wait in line for that point in which our Lord Jesus Christ comes like lightning in glory, in majesty, calls our name. And we are completely then engulfed in glory. And he takes us to be forever with him. In these glorified bodies, in the remarkable appearance that we haven't seen and we don't know and we don't even understand at this point. And according to the passage we just read in Titus, we will all see glory appearing in front of us. Now, it reminds me of the story of Moses. I don't know if you remember this, and some of you will, that Moses is up on Mount Sinai just before he gets the tablets, and he's talking with God. And what's interesting is a lot of those mountains, it's probably more in Egypt territory right now, they're flat at the top. See, it's one heck of a climb to get up. When you get up there, they're almost all kind of like mesas in a way. And so he's up talking to God. And so Moses audaciously says to God, "Please, show me your glory." He has no idea what he's asking, right? He has no idea. He thinks, oh, God would be a little bright. No, oh no. So I want to just pick up a little of the narrative here. Verse 19 of Exodus 33 says, "Then he, God, said, 'I will make all my goodness before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have a compassion.'" In other words, he's saying, "You know what, Moses? Because you asked that, I'm gonna have grace. I'm gonna have compassion on you, and I'm gonna show you." So he says, "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live.'" Wow, pretty amazing. "And the Lord said, 'Here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand as you see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" Because Moses would die. So God has that grace and compassion on Moses and shows him. And so as he walks by, he covers him up, and here he is in the crevice of this rock, and Moses wants to see, but God has his hand over him to protect him. And then as he walks by, he puts his hand down and keeps walking, and Moses sees his backside. Now, that's all good, and that's pretty neat for Moses, but you know, he came down from the mountain, and when he came down from the mountain, it scared Israel because his face glowed. And probably his body glowed too, but he had clothes on. But his face glowed so bad that he had to wear a veil over his face to keep them from being scared. So here's Moses talking to him, but he has a sheet over his face because they can't take it. They can't even take the reflection in Moses of the glory. But we are going to experience that. Do you get that this morning? We're going to experience that glory. We're going to see God's face. We're not going to see his backside. We're going to see his face because we'll have the bodies to be able to do that. And we look at it and we're going to be impacted with that glory and his bright appearance. And so this morning, I want to quickly talk about the rapture. And if you are discouraged this morning, this should encourage you. And if you've heard it before, let's rehearse. Because scholars all through time say the best thing you could do is rehearse over and over and over your belief system so you understand what they are. So verse 2, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming," I mean chapter 2, verse 1, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming," or the presence, "of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering." Our being gathered is what the verse really says. Our being gathered together to him. He's going to gather us. We're not going to try to get him to gather us. It's a passive. He's going to gather us up and swoop us up into the sky, into heaven with him. And it won't be like, you know, a lot of times we see these different things that you come home and the house is real quiet. I can even remember one time when I was a boy and my parents had been talking about the rapture and they were gone. And I said, "Hey, Mom, Dad, Sherry, Julie, anybody here?" And it was dead quiet. Well, I'm extrovert. I don't like dead quiet in the first place. Okay, so take that in mind. And I thought, maybe the rapture happened and I didn't get to go. Because we had just talked about it the night before. You ever feel that way? Or have that experience? It was like spooky. Man, there's nobody here. Why would they leave me or have me come home and nobody's here? Well, they drove up a few minutes later. And, you know, it won't be like, okay, I sinned today, so God's probably mad and not going to take me. No, that's wrong. We're going to go because we've decided as Jesus Christ to be our Lord, our Master, and believe that He rose from the dead. And because of that, the Holy Spirit has sealed us, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the purchased possession. The purchased possession is our body. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, whom you were sealed until the day of redemption, the buying back of our bodies. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it will be the real thing. Our faith will become reality, and your belief will be engulfed in joy and glory. And we will be swept off this earth to Jesus Christ. And we're going to be thinking to ourselves, if we can even think, okay? Who knows? That's going to be a fantastic day. No more sin. No more temptation. No more foolishness. So if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, this next passage applies to you. No matter how rancid your behavior is. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. But I do not want you to be ignorant or not know, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, Paul uses fallen asleep as the souls of the spirit that are already gone to heaven, and the dead as the bodies. Otherwise, this passage would be so messed up we wouldn't know what Paul's saying. Okay? So he said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have gone up to heaven, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, what's the requirement? Died and rose again, okay? Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So he's going to come back. He's going to come back with all these souls and spirits. All the people have gone before us. And he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So it's inspired. He's emphasizing that. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You think you'll be able to hear that shout? Yeah. I actually think the shout's going to be our name. Okay? With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead, that's the bodies, in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, are you comforted? Did you get it? Did you fall asleep? Okay. In other words, it's what we're waiting for, folks. It's what we're waiting for, is that moment when he calls your name and he blows the trumpet and there's a scream. And we realize this crazy world is done. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. It hasn't come yet. And you know, when I read that this morning, I was kind of reviewing my notes. I read that this morning and I thought about Peter when he's talking about the end times. He says, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? Isn't that true? I mean, when we think about what he's going to do, man, doesn't that make you want to be 100% committed, 100% serving God till that moment that he comes. And so as we approach Thanksgiving, maybe this year, we really need to earnestly take a look at our life and not take for granted the life we live right now, because I am thankful. Are you?
Yes.
Man, I mean, we're probably in the best balloon, so to speak, or bubble, however you want to say it, in life on earth right now, because it could get a whole lot worse. And so, I don't know about you, but typically when we're in Thanksgiving, we kind of go around and have people tell what they're thankful for and rehearse our Thanksgiving, right? Because we are thankful. We're thankful. And we need to let God know we are thankful. Will you do that for Thanksgiving? Have a time of just sharing your Thanksgiving. Because we're not only thankful now, but just think how thankful we'd be when we're in heaven.